Turn in your Bibles this morning to the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. The 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. And I shall begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 16. And I want to speak to you on this subject, scriptures that are misapplied concerning the doctrine of baptism. Scriptures that are misapplied concerning the doctrine of baptism. Now, you listen carefully to this reading and the other scriptures that I will use throughout the message. Acts chapter 22, verses 1 through 16. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, meaning Christian people. I persecuted Christian people unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Or I was going to Damascus to get other Christian people to bring them back to Jerusalem in order to persecute and execute some of them. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And what I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Notice again verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Scriptures that are misapplied and misused concerning the doctrine of baptism. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, and be sure to mark this in your Bible, Peter speaks of some things that the Apostle Paul has written. And Peter declares that some of the things that Paul wrote were hard to be understood, For they were not grasped easily, even by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter says that the unlearned and the untaught, catch those two words, the unlearned and the untaught, rest these along with other scriptures, or wrestle them out of their places, if you please, and rest these and other scriptures also to their own destruction. So Peter is saying that a man can misapply the Word of God and wrestle it out of its place and out of its true perspective and all the Word of God combined, and instead of the Scriptures benefiting that individual, the Scriptures will be wrestled out of place to the person's own destruction. And I do not hesitate to affirm this morning that there are people in this town and in this state and throughout America and the entire world that have misapplied scriptures and wrestled scriptures out of their places concerning baptism, not to their benefit, but to their own destruction. Now, did Ananias mean that Saul of Tarsus, when I place you beneath the water, at some time you're under the water, your sins are going to be washed away? Nay, 10,000 times nay, and I'll prove this beyond the shadow of a doubt at the conclusion of the sermon this morning. But let's look at the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. This scripture is misapplied over and over and over. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what, you tell me? Shall be saved. And a lot of people quote this verse and never quote the remaining portion of it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what, you tell me? Shall be damned. Now I offer you this morning every possession that I have, if you can find anywhere in the lids of the Word of God where God declares that he that is not baptized shall be damned. You cannot find that in the Bible. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This verse of Scripture does not affirm baptismal regeneration, but it affirms that a Christian who believes in the Lord is saved, and every child of God who believes in the Lord ought to be willing to follow the Lord in the waters of Christian baptism. But if a man is saved and is never baptized, and that man has been genuinely washed in the blood of Jesus and has had an experience of grace, he'll go to heaven just as quickly as the person who was saved that followed the Lord in baptism, because water has nothing to do with a man's salvation. Let me illustrate, Brother Buell. He that buyeth a train ticket and taketh a seat shall arise in Palestine, Texas, or arrive in Palestine, Texas. Now, there was a time when you could go right here in this town and buy a railroad ticket to Palestine, Texas, and points beyond. But the buying of a ticket gave you the privilege to enter the train, and when the conductor came around and collected the ticket, you were assured of your destination. But the illustration I use, he that buyeth a ticket and sitteth on the train shall arrive in Palestine, Texas. The taking of a seat has nothing to do with a destination, but it simply has reference to the comfort of the journey. And if I bought a ticket to ride a train somewhere this morning, I would certainly not like to stand up all the way. I would want the journey to be comfortable. And from a sensible standpoint, after I'd bought the ticket and entered the train, I would sit down for the comfort of the journey. Jesus taught us in His Word that salvation is one thing and that baptism is another thing, but that when people are truly saved, in order for them to be as happy as they ought to be as Christians, one of the first things they ought to do is follow the Lord in Christian baptism. So in Mark 16:16, it does not say, "He that is not baptized shall be damned." It says, "He that believes not shall be damned." And I'll stay with the Word of God instead of false preachers this morning. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the first Pentecost after the resurrection, the Apostle Peter is now a changed man. And the Apostle Peter stands up on that Memorial Day and begins to preach to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 37, the Bible says, "Now when they heard this," or when the multitude heard this, "they were pricked in their heart. And they cried out to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said," listen now, "preaching to the multitude, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the remission of sins. For the promise is unto you and to your fathers and to all that are far off and to as many as the Lord our God will call." And this verse of Scripture, there are those who affirm that Peter is saying that you must be baptized for the remission of sins. They not only do not know anything about the Word of God, they know nothing about grammar. For in the construction of this sentence, when Peter says repent, he is saying repent ye, or in the plural, he is preaching to all those unsaved people, repent ye. And then he says, "And be baptized, every one," singular, "every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive for the remission of sins. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now when Peter says to the multitude, repent, he says to those who have believed, "Every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins." Now let me pause right here. There is a man by the name of John Gacy in Illinois that committed more murders than anybody in the history of the United States of America, affirming what I have preached from this pulpit many, many times, that the most deadly and dastardly and dangerous and devious and demon-possessed people on the face of God's earth are homosexuals and lesbians. Amen. John Gacy killed 33 boys. And in his homosexual perversion, he buried them beneath his own house and cooked in it and ate in it and slept in it. And John Gacy has been sentenced to die. But he is not in prison, and he was not sent to prison in order for him to commit 33 murders. He was sent to prison because he had committed them. And when Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins," he is not saying, "Repent and be baptized in order that your sins might be remitted." He is saying to those who have believed in Jesus, "You be baptized because your sins already have been remitted." And no person in this world is qualified to follow the Lord in baptism until his sins have been remitted or until his sins have been forgiven. Do you believe that? Repent, all of you. And then those of you who have repented, be baptized for the remission of sins, or for sins that have already been remitted. when you believe and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another misapplied scripture is found in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And they isolate that verse of scripture and they say when a man walks the aisles of a church and the minister puts him under the water, that sometime while that man is under the water, between the time he's under the water and comes up out of the water, he's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I heard about a baptizing one time when there were icicles spewing up out of the ground. And a thin sheet of ice around the edge of this little pond. And they had to get that fellow baptized because if he died, he'd go to hell if he didn't get baptized. And so they led him out to that pond where the ice was spewing up. And this is a true story. And a little thin sheet of ice around the pond. And they waited out there shivering, in order to get that man baptized to keep him from going to hell in case he died. And there was an old crazy boy standing on the bank. And he wasn't as crazy as he might appear. And the preacher baptized that man in order for him to put on Christ and in order for that icy water to wash away his sins and in order for him to be assured of heaven. And when he came up out of the water, that old crazy boy said, "Is it cold?" And the man that he baptized said, "No." He lied. He said, "Duck him again. Amen." Because those who teach baptismal regeneration also teach that you can lose the Lord's salvation. And if I believe water could wash away sins, I would somehow by force round up everybody in this town and see to it that they were placed under water. Let's go back and get all the context. Galatians chapter 3 is where we are. Let's go back as far as verse 24. For the law was our schoolmaster, our child conductor, our pedagogue, to bring us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But after that faith is come, you are no longer under a schoolmaster. After one is saved, he is not under the ceremonial aspect of the law. You're no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26, listen now. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, not faith in the water, faith in Christ Jesus. And as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul is simply saying, when you had faith in Christ, you became a child of God. And when you were baptized in water, you put on the Christian uniform to declare to the world that you were not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I joined the United States Marine Corps, they swore me in and said, "You can go home for 1 week." A little 17-year-old flag happy boy, sworn into the Marine Corps, went home for 1 week. I was just as much a Marine that day as I was the day I was discharged. 1 week later, I went back, reported in at Parris Island, and they gave me a uniform. And back in World War II, it was compulsory that I wear that uniform at all times, and people could look at me and without question know that I was a member of the United States Marine Corps because I had on the uniform. But the uniform didn't make me the Marine. The swearing-in ceremony made me the Marine, and the uniform simply testified to the world that I was not 4F or a draft dodger, and I was proud to wear the uniform because I was a bona fide Marine. And when one is baptized, it does not procure his salvation, it declares it. And it is the Christian uniform that lets the world know that you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you remember the day you were baptized? Let's see your hand. It can be one of the most sacred and gracious experiences in the life of a Christian. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Here is a verse of Scripture that says baptism saves us. And there are those who will hammer and say you can do everything in the world that the Bible asks you to do, but unless you are baptized, you will never be saved. Well, I want to illustrate before finishing the verse of Scripture that when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, there was on either side of Him two men who were what? Tell me. Thieves. And one of them looked at Him and said, "If you're Christ, save yourself and us. If you are Jesus, if you are Christ, if you are what you claim to be, save yourself and us." And that reveals the depravity of his heart, because he questioned the deity of Christ, and it shows his biblical ignorance, because Christ on the cross of Calvary could not have saved himself and saved anybody. Amen. It was necessary for him to die in order that his blood might atone for our sins. And I reaffirm, had Christ saved himself that day, you and I would still be in our sins. But the other one looked at him and looked at the other thief. And he said to the thief beside him, "We are indeed here justly. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing amiss." And then he looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And right then and there, the thief on the cross was saved. And I want to affirm this morning, and I wish I could shout loud enough for the world to hear me, that the thief could not join a church. The thief could not keep the law. The thief could not repay what he had stolen. The thief was high above water mark, and he was saved with an everlasting salvation. And when Jesus entered paradise, the thief went with him that day, because he was saved by God's grace, and the thief was not baptized. And mark it down, let it ring deep in your heart, that there wasn't one single solitary thing the thief could do but throw himself upon the mercy of God. What you need this morning, sinner, is not church membership. There are too many church members in the world. Somebody say amen. That's right. Too many church members. What you need is not to be baptized. What you need is not to turn over a new leaf. What you need above everything and beyond everything else is the mercy of God. That's what the thief received, and that's what I received. And if you're saved, that's what you received. God's mercy is what the sinner needs. So back to 1 Peter 3:21, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us." But the rest of the verse, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. And let me pause right here and say that man by nature in God's sight is filthy. "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all together become filthy." God said it, and I believe it. We pamper our flesh like it was something, but God says the flesh is filthy. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism doesn't wash away sins literally. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, who did we start out talking about? Saul of Tarsus. Well, let's see what he says about baptism. 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? Preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." 1 Corinthians 1:17. What did he say in 1 Corinthians 1:14? "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." And all the members of Corinth, Paul said, "I'm glad I didn't baptize but just Crispus and Gaius." And then two verses later, he said, "I did baptize the household of Stephanas, but other than that, I baptized no other." Now, if baptism were essential to salvation, do you think the great apostle Paul, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, would say, "I thank God I didn't baptize anybody but Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas"? Well, if it had been necessary to baptism, Paul would have been thanking God that he baptized many of them. But he said, "I thank God that I didn't baptize any except Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas." Does baptism save? Wresting scriptures out of their places to one's own destruction, misapplying scriptures with reference to baptism. Saul of Tarsus, E.T. Smith. Saul of Tarsus, John Lockhart. Saul of Tarsus, Jim Kirk. Saul of Tarsus, Joe Taylor. Saul of Tarsus, Brother Brown, Brother Parker, Brother Darby. Saul of Tarsus was saved before he was baptized. Four reasons. Number one, he called Jesus Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And on the Damascus Road, when he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" he did it by the Spirit of God. And Romans 8:14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Number two, he was saved before he was baptized because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, wake up and listen to what I'm going to say right here, because you need this. Now, those who teach today that unless you are filled with the Spirit to the point of what they call baptism and speak in tongues, you're not saved. And here's a Baptist preacher that will tell you and back it up with the Word of God that all of the Holy Spirit you're going to ever get is when you get saved. You're not ever going to get any more of the Holy Spirit. And in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 17, Ananias said, "Because God has chosen you," and I thank God that Saul was a chosen vessel, don't you? "Because God's chosen you, he's caused me to come to you in order that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And so Saul of Tarsus was filled with the Spirit of God before he was baptized. Therefore, he was saved before he was baptized. Number three, Saul of Tarsus was saved before he was baptized because Ananias called him brother. I get amazed at the way some of these preachers like titles. The Most Right Reverend. The Right Reverend Monsignor Doctor, etc., etc. And they love the praise of men. And I've never been anywhere except somebody said, "What do you want me to call you? Dr. Brunson? Reverend Brunson? Elder Brunson?" I said, "I don't want you to call me any of those things. Call me Brother Harold." The sweetest word that you can use this morning is the word brother. Now, I have three living brothers, one dead. And I love all of them. You might not understand this statement, but there is a love that is deeper than fleshly love, and that is a spiritual love. And there are some of my brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ that I actually love better than my own fleshly brothers. Now, you criticize me if you want to, but spiritual ties are greater than physical ties. And Ananias said, "Brother Saul," how sweet. Ananias knew that he was a Christian, that he was saved, and he called him brother before he was baptized. Finally, he was saved before he was baptized because God called him to preach before he was baptized. In verse 15 of this 22nd chapter, he said, "The Lord has appeared unto thee to make thee a witness, a minister unto all men of things which thou hast seen and heard." And God never has called a lost man to preach the gospel. God never will call a lost man to preach the gospel. Saul of Tarsus was called to preach before he was baptized, and for these four reasons: the fact that he called Jesus Lord, the fact that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the fact, and let it sink deep into your heart, that Saul called him brother, and the fact that God called him to preach is conclusive proof this morning that Saul was saved before baptism, and that baptism is something that comes after salvation and not before. Over in the state of Mississippi, my father-in-law, Brother Ollie Parker, had preached a revival meeting for a little country church that was without a pastor. And 17 people were saved in that meeting. They authorized Brother Parker to do the baptizing for the church. He went out to what you Texans call a tank, what Mississippians call a pond. They gathered on the shores of that little pond. Brother Parker waded out into the pond. And those of you who know him know that he's a real stooped and crippled man. And he began to baptize. And he baptized several and came down to about next to the last one to be baptized, a girl by the name of Mary. And she was nervous and panicky. And when Brother Parker started to put her under the water, she jerked away and one hand stood way up in the air. And she started walking out of the water. And that crippled preacher said, "Just a minute, Mary. You have not been baptized." And she came back. And again, he said, "I baptize thee in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And held her hand and placed her all the way under the water. And brought her up. And he said, "Now, Mary, you have been baptized. Amen." But Mary and the 16 others got saved before they got to the water. And any preacher who preaches a water gospel is the devil's preacher and not God's preacher. May we stand.
Number 260.
Our Father in heaven, bless this message this morning. And may we always be honest with thy word and not isolate passages and wrest them out of their setting to prove some doctrine that has been hatched up by man. But may we interpret thy word in the light of all of its teachings. And may we be honest and fair, for thus saith the word of God. If there is one here this morning that is lost, may this be the day that one will be saved. If there is one here who is saved and has not yet followed his Lord in baptism, may this be the day that one will come. If there are others with disturbed hearts or burdens that need to move, give them grace to do so. And we'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.